All right, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. If you find Isaiah, just go back one. Song of Solomon. I'd like to look at Song of Solomon 1. I'm going to look at one verse. Verse 4. This precious book, this book of written by, penned by Solomon, reveals the precious, glorious relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. It's a relationship that is eternal, but it's a relationship that has been made manifest in and to the vessels of God's mercy in time. It's always been. The Lord teaches us, teaches His people concerning that relationship. It's a union that is expressed with the speech of love. It's the speech of God. Because the scripture says God is love. Now let's look at verse 4. And this is the voice, this is the heart of the bride. She says, verse 4, draw me. Draw me. Now, for one to say that with a new heart, draw me. This is the speech of regeneration. This is the speech that comes from the heart of the bride that knows Him. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. This is the speech of one that loves Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And this is the speech of one that has already come to Him, drawn by the Spirit of God. She comes by faith. But this is the speech of the bride that realizes her need to pray for His drawing mercy. One that recognizes her need of being close to Him. She knows that the Lord must draw her because of herself. She won't come. She can't come. You mean even after regeneration? The Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Now, who was He talking to? He talked to His disciples. He talked to His people. So she says, draw me. Now, to understand what that word means, I want you to hold your place. Turn back to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. Lord willing, we'll be in this passage of Scripture here probably Wednesday. Genesis 37. Look at verse 28. Now, this is when Joseph has been taken by his brothers because they hated him because of Jacob, his daddy's love for him. And they wanted to kill him. But Reuben, their brother, said, no, let's don't kill him. So they put him in a pit. They put him in a pit. And he couldn't get out. Look at Genesis 37:28. This is how he got out. Genesis 37:28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, you see that word? They drew him out. Why wouldn't he get out? Why didn't he just crawl out? He couldn't get out. He was in a pit. He couldn't get out. They had to draw him out. They drew him out. That's the same word. So the bride is saying to the Lord, back in Song of Solomon, Draw me. Draw me. The Lord Jesus declared man's inability in John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Draw, that is, with an inward power to impel, to draw him. The sheep believe him. And they know that except the Father had drawn them first in regenerating grace, they would not come. Likewise, again, I'm saying, like I said a moment ago, every continual coming to Christ, drawing, the Lord must draw us. Let me prove that to you. Hold your place there. Just turn over a couple of pages. Song of Solomon 5. Song of Solomon 5. Look at verses 2 to 4. Here's the Lord speaking to his bride. Verse 1, he said, I've come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved, he just told her, drink, enjoy. Enjoy that which I've done for you. Enjoy. And the bride says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. She knows it's the voice of her beloved. She hears it. She knows it. But that sleep that she's talking about, that drowsiness, she sees the inward dwelling of sin. See, I sleep. My heart's awake. It's my beloved speaking to me. Now listen to her excuse. I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Now, you know, I'm down for the evening. Listen, I've had a long day. I'm tired. I have stuff to do. I really, this is just a little bit too much for me right now. If it's okay with you, I don't think I can do that. I've just got things and mess and stuff. What does he do? Look at verse 4. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels, my heart, were moved for him. Now, that he put his hand, I've read so much on that trying to figure out, and really nobody, Neil, really has a real good explanation of exactly. They knew it had something to do with the locking, the mechanism of opening the door. But let me say this. When God's pleased to draw, he knows how to put his hand in the hole of the door and cause the bowels, the heart of his bride, to long after him. He knows how. When he calls, That old flesh that rebels against him, I just got too much going on right now. He knows how to draw. Here's what the bride says. Draw me. Why? Because I'm prone to wander. Song says, Lord, I feel it. I know exactly what it is. But Lord, if you don't draw me, I won't come. I won't come. We like to believe that, you know, we've got that ability now. Well, I've been regenerated by the grace of God and I can approach the Lord whenever. Well, I'm telling you, that's just a little bit too high. You're just thinking a little bit too much of yourself. Listen, the scripture says, for it is God, Philippians 2:13, which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. You think you've got the ability to, with consistency, to do what you want to do, when you want to do it. I'm telling you, that's pride. I can do this. I don't know. I can do this right here. But you know, if I start doing this right here just any time, you're going to think, you know what? I think Marvin's kind of losing it. You know what caused me to do that? My brain said, Marvin, I'm going to let you use an illustration just to prove this. The brain tells the whole body what to do, when to do it, how to do it, how to use consistency in that. And the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaks to his body, and he moves her. And the bride knows that. And she says, draw me, draw me. Draw me unto yourself. But look back in Psalm 1, verse 4. Draw me, and let's look at this next part. We will run after thee. Now here, she's speaking according to his precious promise that his people will be willing when? In the day of his power. How comforting to know that we're not left to the impotent will of our decision, our choice. We hear the word of authority from the mouth of God Almighty, and we believe him. All that the Father giveth me come to me. Aren't we glad when we hear the promises of the Lord, when he says, I will and you shall. I will and you shall. Hold your place. Turn back to Exodus 6. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus 6. Look at verse 7. Now you listen to this. I think of the fallacy of men today declaring that people got a free will. They got a free will. Well, let's just let the Spirit of God tell us what God's going to do. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now, let me ask you something. Who's in control? God or us? Brother Scott, you say, who's running the show anyway? Who is running this show? So the word of the Lord, which shall never pass away, declares, I will and you shall. And we say, according to his word, Lord, you shall and we will. We will. So the bride declares back in Psalm 1:4, draw me. Lord, if you draw me, if you lovingly impel me to come, if you take me like they took Joseph out of that pit, he couldn't get out. They had to draw him out. Lord, if you draw me, we, all of us, all that are recipients of the grace of God, we will run after thee. His quickening, turn to Matthew 4. His quickening power moves his people. He moves them. Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. He called them, and scripture says straightway. I looked up the definition. Immediately. Immediately. Look at Matthew 9:9. Matthew 9:9. Matthew 9:9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. I love that. No questions asked. Follow me. He got up. I'm telling you, when authority, when God speaks, when authority, he who ruleth in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, who doeth as he will, with whom he will, when he will, how he will. They move. The Spirit moved the bride to say back in Psalm 1:4, the king hath brought me into his chambers. The king has caused me to come into his chambers. That is his dwelling place. It means the private, the abode. Where is that? I don't know. But I can tell you wherever it is, that's where he speaks intimately with his people. It's that place where the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he who rules, are drawn by him into his presence intimately. Now, I'm telling you, I got to think when I was going over my notes this morning, I thought about this. I thought, you know, there is something special. When we meet together like this, there's nothing more precious in this world, humanly speaking, spiritually speaking, than the assembling of God's people. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more important. Whatever you think is more important than this, you're wrong. This is it, right here. Because this assembly is the bride of Christ meeting with him. Two or three gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of you. I'm in the midst. Now, I'm preaching, and you're hearing it. Here, a creature of dust. Preaching to creatures of dust. But this word that goes forth, this is not my word, this is his word. And as that word goes forth, the Spirit of God who blesses the preaching of the gospel only to the salvation of his elect, the preacher, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. This is the power of God. Does God save his people under a lie? No. No, he saves them under the preaching of the gospel of Christ. But there is an intimacy that is taking place right here. I'm convinced of that. God is speaking individually to his people. And the bride confesses that. She says, the king hath brought me into his chambers. He brings his people into that place of sweet communion. I don't know what's being said, but I guarantee it. You hear the word of God and your mind just muses on it. And you're thinking on it. And you're contemplating it. And you contemplate what the Lord's done for you and how thankful you are. I don't know. I don't know how he speaks, but he speaks. My sheep hear my voice. And you hear it, you that know him, you hear it. So he comes in into this place of intimacy. How many of them share that place of intimacy? All that the Father's chosen and the Son's redeemed and the Spirit of God is regenerated. And they come together and he teaches them of the spiritual blessings toward them in himself according to the covenant mercy of God. Daniel was brought before King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed a dream. Nobody, you know, all the Chaldeans, the soothsayers and the interpreters, you know, they couldn't figure it out. They said, you tell us, you know, they said, okay, king, you tell us what you dreamed and we'll tell you. He said, no, you tell me what I dreamed. You tell me what I dream, and you tell me the interpretation of it, I'm gonna kill you. Well, they said, no, nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. You have to tell us. He said, no, you tell me what I dreamed. They called Daniel. They said, there's one called Daniel. And Daniel came before the king, and I wrote this down. Daniel 2:28, there's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. I thought, who is a God like unto thee? He hath brought me into his chambers. That precious communication between the king and his bride. He is talking to the one that he has eternally loved. And he speaks to her because God has determined that he's going to tell her. Hold your place and turn over to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. The Lord had reprimanded some people where he had done some mighty works. Mighty works. And he told them in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, now this is God speaking, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The bride says back in Song of Solomon 1:4, he says, the king hath brought me into his chambers, and we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will be glad. We will be glad. Lord, you've revealed the secrets of your precious covenant of grace. And Lord, that which you've been pleased to do in revealing in us, giving us a heart to hear your voice, we will be glad. We will rejoice. Glad and rejoice. Two different words. There's two different words that mean basically the same thing. Same sense, same meaning. Double joy. We will be glad. We will remember thy love more than wine. We will remember your love more than the temporal pleasures of this world. The Lord's not going to let his people forget. He's not going to let them forget of his love for them. Yet we're frail creatures of dust. As I said before, we're so prone to forget, to wander. But he's going to visit us. He's going to visit us in the best way, that way he sees fit. And he's going to give us a fresh recollection of his word. When we find ourselves slothful because of indwelling sin, again, like I said before, he knows how to call us. He knows how to draw us. He knows how to put his hand in the hole of the door. He'd stir us up to remembrance that we might contemplate again that everlasting mercy and compassion that we've talked about through the preaching of the gospel. We'll hear his voice. He'll bring back to our memory the surety of his love, the surety of everlasting life. The surety of him putting away our sins by his shed blood at Calvary, and the wonder of the robe of righteousness in which we've been clothed. He who has done all will not permit us to forget. So therefore, the bride declares the upright, the even, the straight, the sincere, love thee. The margin says they love thee uprightly. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter said after three times, he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know I do. God's people, they love the Lord. They love him because he first loved them. He's given them a love for him. They love him. But he's going to remind them. He's going to remind them. He's going to draw, and the bride wants that. Draw me. Draw me. We'll run after you. All right. Let's take a few minutes break, and we'll come right back, okay? We're going to look at the next verse.